ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana, Text number 52. Atma yadi syat sukha dukha hetu kimanyatastatra nija svabhava Nayatmanonyadyadi tanmishasyat Rudyeta kasmana sukham na dukham. Atma, the soul himself. Yadi, if. Syat, should be. Sukha dukha, of happiness and distress. Hetu, the cause. Kim, what? Anyataha, other. Tatra, in that theory. Nija, his own. Svabhavaha, nature. Na, not. He, indeed. Atmanaha, than the soul. Anyat, anything separate. Yadi, if. Tat, that. Misha, false. Syat, would be. Kruddheta, one can become angry. Kasmat, at whom. Na, there is no. Sukham, happiness. Na, nor. Dukham, misery. Translation and purport by the followers of Prabhupada. If the soul himself were the cause of happiness and distress, then we could not blame others. Since happiness and distress would be simply the nature of the soul. According to this theory, nothing except the soul actually exists. And if we were to perceive something besides the soul, that would be illusion. Therefore, since happiness and distress do not actually exist in this concept, why become angry at oneself or others? Purport. Because a dead body does not feel pleasure or pain, our happiness and distress are due to our own consciousness, which is the nature of the soul. It is not, however, the original function of the soul to enjoy material happiness and suffer material distress. These are produced by ignorant material affections and enmity based on false ego. Our involvement in sense gratification drags our consciousness into the material body, where it is shocked by the inevitable bodily pains and problems. On the spiritual platform, there is neither material happiness nor distress, because there the living consciousness is fully engaged without personal desire in the devotional service of Supreme Lord. This is the actual position of happiness, aloof from false bodily identification. Rather than uselessly becoming enraged with others for one's own foolishness, one should take to self-realization and solve the problems of life. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tegrim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter, as we know, about Avanti Brahmana. So he went through different difficulties and it's described in the earlier verses how he took those difficulties, how he tolerated them. But now, in these few verses that we are reading now, and today's verse, he is considering the cause of those difficulties. So previously we were dealing that how to deal with those difficulties, but now he is trying to see what is the cause, the demigods or, you know, different planets or the soul or mind, like that. Like in yesterday's class we were discussing how mind is the main culprit and, you know, different things about mind. So today's verse tells about the soul, that how the soul actually suffers. In the original position in spiritual world, there is no material suffering and material happiness. But as soon as one is conditioned, this material happiness and distress starts. So now here, what this Brahmana is doing, that he is very intelligent actually. So he is introspecting that what happened actually. You know, generally when a distress comes, or you know, when happiness comes, you are very happy. It doesn't matter. You know? So you are carried away by that happiness, you party and like that. And when distress comes, you just, you know, mind is bewildered straight away, you blame others and that's it, and you're distressed. But here he is actually very intelligently, in an equipoised way, he's trying to see what is the reason, that why am I suffering, all these sufferings which are here now. So what is the cause? So so this is a very important thing. So generally materialists, they don't think so much. So, as in Bhagavad Gita, it says, actually there are two types of intelligent men. So one is a materialist. He's also very, some materialists are very intelligent. And other is this sage or muni. So such a sage is on this, he's self-realized or spiritually realized person. He is also very intelligent. So, so materially, to create anything or to plan anything, you need intelligence. So we see these big buildings are there, these gadgets, and so many things are being invented every day. Medical research, this research, that research. So it requires some intelligence. Without intelligence, a dumb person cannot do such things. You know, these metros and, you know, highways and freeways, so such nice technology. So you need to require some intelligence. So the word described in Bhagavad Gita is kriti. Kriti means one who has performed some meritorious work. He has some intelligence and he has performed some intelligent task. He has made a nice thing or planned in a nice way. But such work can be either to satisfy the Lord or against the plan of the Lord. So that's the thing. So two terms. So sukriti means one who follows the plan of Lord. Dushkriti means one who doesn't follow. So both are kriti means they have intelligence, they have done some meritorious work. But one is in line with the will of the Lord, one is against the will of the Lord. So this is the thing. But here, this Brahmana is acting as Sukriti, or he is like acting like a pious person. So he is introspecting in a very in a way which is he's trying to dovetail everything for the law. So in that way, he's trying to introspect. So now here he's discussing about happiness and distress, that. So what is the cause? So how he is introspecting? So he is introspecting about different causes. So basically the cause, as we discussed, is as in Bhagavad Gita also it says, as soon as there is a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, so there, that point we are conditioned. So Ichha Dvesh Samuttena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarvbhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Paramtata. So this Ichha and Dvesh, Ichha is desire, Dvesh means the hatred. So once this desire comes to enjoy separate from Krishna, so we come into this duality, mode of duality. So in material world there is all these dualities, happiness, distress, you know, heat, cold, good, bad, man, woman. So all these dualities are here in the material world. So in the spiritual world everything is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. So in material world this conception comes. So actually in Nectar of Devotion it describes how there are actually three types of happiness. So one is this material happiness that we get here in material world every now and then. And second is it's called Brahmanand, or which is happiness derived by merging in Brahman or becoming one with the Brahman. So basically it's becoming eternal, you can say. This is the Sat aspect. So when one is liberated, gets moksha, he becomes eternal. He can merge into the Brahman and can be there eternally. That's the idea. So this is the second type of happiness. But the third type of happiness, which is considered to be the supreme happiness, is called the happiness derived from devotional service. So actually the material happiness is within the bounds of material nature. So material nature means, it's also called samsar. Samsar means the cycle of birth and death. So within that cycle, you are rotating in a cycle of birth and death. Within that cycle of birth and death, you get this happiness, these small sparks of happiness. So this is the first type of happiness, material happiness. You know, you win tax lotto or what else, you know, you get a PR or citizenship in Australia. So these are like very temporary happiness you get. So this is first type within the material realm, and within the cycle of birth and death you get this happiness. So second type of happiness, which is Brahmanand, is like you are getting out of the cycle of birth and death. So that's something, that's, that should be like really big happiness. There's no more birth and death, disease and old age. So you become eternal, totally on the spiritual platform. That's the spiritual platform, Aham Brahmasmi, that platform. You realize that I am the spirit soul, and you merge with the entirety of the supreme spirit, Brahman. So that happiness is much, much beyond this material happiness. But this third type of happiness is even above Brahmananda. So this third type of happiness, which is happiness derived from devotional service, this is much above. So actually there is a quote by Srila Rupa Goswami. So here it says, Srila Rupa Goswami says that if Brahmananda, or the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme, is multiplied by 1 trillion fold, it still cannot compare to an atomic fraction of the happiness derived from the ocean of devotional service. So if you multiply Brahmanand, that is your coming out of cycle of birth and death, into 1 trillion, that is not even equal to 1 atomic particle of the happiness derived from devotional service. So this makes us think, oh, what we have got, what we are doing, is how important that is and how seriously we should take that. Because that, this is the potential. So this, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also mentioned in the Shiksha Ashtak, that this happiness is like the ocean, and which is ever increasing, Anandam Buddhi Vardhan Pratipadam. So each step it increases. There is no limit to that. So this is the happiness derived from devotional service, from chanting, hearing, and associating with devotees like that. So this material happiness, and why are these inferior? Material happiness and Brahmanand, why are these inferior? Because material happiness is temporary. If it's temporary, what's the use? It will just come and go. So why to strive for that? When material happiness will come, it will end. So that's the characteristic of material happiness. We reject that material happiness, we don't desire. So now Brahmanand, coming out of cycle of birth and death, why is that rejected? Because still there is pretty much mostly the chance is that you will fall down from there, as you know. Because what happens when the soul enters the Brahman effulgence? Of course it's eternal, but there is no activity there, no reciprocation. So the soul always seeks this pleasure. Anand Maya Vyasa, this soul, the nature of soul is to seek pleasure. And pleasure comes from relationship. So everyone is seeking some relationship, friendship, like that. So as you can reciprocate, exchange, some loving exchange is there. So but in Brahmanand you are hanging there, but there is eternal time, but there is no reciprocation. So there is no satisfaction there. So that's why there is every chance of falling down. Of course, if someone is sincere and, you know, like the four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis, but they smelled the Tulsi leaf from Lord's lotus feet and they turned into devotees like that. So, but mostly, Brahmanand is not desired because this ocean of happiness that we get from the devotional service is so great, like that. So now, after this discussing these three types of happiness, the reasons are written here in the purport. It says our involvement in this sense gratification drags our consciousness into material body, which is shocked by inevitable bodily pains and problems. So this is the thing. This is given how we come in this conditioned state. So this is our desire for sense gratification, means desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Because of this desire, we are dragged to this conditioned state. So that very nice verse is there, that Krishna Bahirmukh Hana Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Japati Adhare. So it's like, as soon as you desire that I want to enjoy separate from Krishna, why is Krishna God? I want to become God. So as soon as that happens, so Maya, who is the servant and energy of Krishna, she is just standing next to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Nikatastha, just by the side. So as soon as you desire that, and that's it, she catches you, yes. Grabs you and pulls you down and covers you up. That's it. So that's her job. There's a choice. Either you desire Krishna, or if you want to be God, then Maya will make you God for the temporary time, temporary moments like that. So this is because the living entity is marginal. It's tatastha shakti, marginal potency of the Lord. So either it can take shelter of the spiritual energy or the material energy. So as long as this devotional service continues in material world or spiritual world, so for that time we are taking shelter of the spiritual energy and we are serving Krishna and we are deriving that happiness of devotional service. But as soon as this other desire comes, so then we are taking shelter of this Maya or the external energy of Lord. And then what is the result? What happens? As in Bhagavad Gita it says, 9th chapter, Mogasha Mog Karmano, Mog Gyan Vichetasa, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva, prakriti mohinim shritam. So one who takes shelter of these, this prakriti, this external energy, so they are actually bewildered, and it is said their views are demoniac, rakshasim asurim jaiva. So such materialists, it is nothing like an innocent materialist. No, here it declares in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares, rakshasim asurim jaiva. So one who is like rakshas or asura, a materialist, it's compared to that. So because he is taking shelter of the external energy, you know, and he, in that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, fruitive activities and culture of knowledge are defeated. So mog asha, mog karma, no, like that. They are defeated at each step. So these, as we were discussing, these dushkritis who are making these big plans, big World Trade Tower, it will be destroyed sooner or later. So you can make anything, any big plan. If it's not if it's not dovetailed to the will of Lord, ultimately it's of no use. But whatever small you do for the Lord, you have, that's for ultimate benefit. It's said like, even if you, you know, hammer one small nail in the wall for Krishna, you may forget, you know, later. You may forget what you did, then that insignificant act. But Krishna always remembers that. So this is the power of devotional service. So whatever you do, it's never lost. It's not a waste of time. Whatever little you do to try to satisfy Krishna or in devotional service, so that is permanent and you get the real happiness out of that. Now another thing that this, as we were this materialists. So in one discussion, Prabhupada was doing with all these scientists and reporters. There was a little argument, and then actually Prabhupada was mentioning on these lines that everyone, there is nothing except from Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. So it's our choice which way we want to see Krishna. If we take shelter of the spiritual energy, the form we see is Shyam Sundar form. It's a beautiful, Sundar means the beautiful form of Lord. So if we surrender to Krishna, if we take shelter of the spiritual energy, then we see the beautiful form as we take darshan every day. These beautiful dresses, beautiful decorations, beautiful form of Lord. So this, because we are trying to take shelter of the spiritual energy. But those who don't take shelter of spiritual energy, they will also see Krishna. But they will see Krishna as death. So they have to see Krishna. No one can reject Krishna that, there is no God, God is dead, I don't want to see God. No, there is nothing except God and God's energy. So in one way or the other, we have to see God. So better see God in a beautiful form. Why to see as the, you know, painful death? And of course, for that example is there, for devotees also the body has to end, but for devotees it's like the cat catching the kitten. The mouth of the cat is compared to the death, but when the cat picks up the kitten feels love. But the rat or these materialists, they see the real jaw, the real threat, the death, like that. So this is the difference between taking shelter of material energy or taking shelter of spiritual energy. Another thing mentioned here, very important in this purport, is that on the spiritual platform, there is neither material happiness nor distress, because there the living consciousness is fully engaged without personal desire in the devotional service of Lord. So this is very important. It's mentioned here that The living entity, when it's engaged without personal desire. Now, as we said, this activity and is the nature of the soul, so it cannot be that we become desireless. There is no desire, just like that. That's the case of kind of Brahmananda, you're just hanging, no desire. No desire, so no activity, that's it. So it cannot happen. Soul always desires and it's very active. So, to become desireless actually means to have a spiritual desire, the desire to serve Krishna. That is desireless, desirelessness. Materially, you are desireless. That's what it means. So here it says, the living consciousness on the spiritual platform, it's fully engaged and without any personal desire. So as long as we have our personal agendas, this real satisfaction cannot be there. So as there is a very nice verse, as we know, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ateva Shanta Bukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. So whoever one is, a karmi, bhukti, mukti, you know, siddhi, one who is doing yoga, who is doing gyan, is cultivating knowledge, or a fruitive worker. So everyone has some motivation behind whatever they are doing. So that's why they cannot be peaceful or happy ultimately, because they have this personal motivation. But a devotee doesn't have a personal motivation. His motivation is just to serve the desire of Krishna and spiritual master, like that. So then he can be actually happy. And the desire of spiritual master is, his spiritual master, of course, he is the representative of Krishna. So whatever his desire is, that's the desire of Krishna. And we were reading yesterday from Science of Self-Realization with some Prabhus. So it was saying what is the difference between real and fake spiritual master, like that. So actually John Lennon asked Prabhupada, what is the test for a guru? Who is a real, genuine guru? So Prabhupada said, one, you just see one who is most addicted to Krishna, he is genuine guru. Mm-hmm. Like that. So such genuine guru has real, genuine desire to serve Krishna, and we should follow such a spiritual master. So these devotees who are taking full shelter of spiritual energy, they are addicted to Krishna in a good sense, not an addiction in a bad way. People get addicted to drugs, cigarettes and tea and everything, you know. So that's a derogatory way. But this addiction to Krishna is good. So this...
You mean addiction to serve Krishna?
Yes. Serve Krishna. And any aspect of Krishna, you are just addicted. Chanting, hearing, you know, all these aspects, these different processes of devotional service, different limbs of devotional service. You are just addicted. You cannot do without hearing Bhagavatam, you know. So that's the real, or cannot do without chanting and dancing, or without eating prasadam, of course, no one can. So this is the way. One who is really addicted, he is actually taking full shelter of the spiritual energy. And then there is a chance that, it is said, we are just hoping against hope. Without Krishna's mercy, we can't. On our endeavor has to be there, but we also require Krishna's mercy, like that. So then also... But such people who take shelter of the spiritual energy completely in the material world and in Kali Yuga is very rare, actually, very rare. So Srila Prabhupada used to quote this, that you know, such people who will take up this process of Krishna consciousness will be few, because straight away we say these regulations are there, these four regulative principles, we have to follow that. So it's not a cheap process. So, a genuine person, a sincere person who actually wants to attain self-realization, such a person will be very rare. And Prabhupada was not sad of that point, because he always used to say, there's, even if one person comes and he takes up fully Krishna consciousness fully, so that's good. Because he said that one person who takes full shelter of spiritual energy, he is like one moon in the sky. He will shine and dissipate the darkness. And he said, what's the use of so many stars? If there are millions of stars, they cannot dissipate the darkness. But if there is one moon, bright moon, he will dissipate the darkness. That moon will dissipate the darkness. So, and then such a person, he will be able to speak about Krishna to thousands of people like that. So what is the use of so many stars, you know, they used to say like that. So here we discussed about material happiness, spiritual happiness, material distress. In the spiritual world also seemingly there is distress. But the distress in spiritual world brings bliss. That's the difference. The happiness there brings bliss, and the distress, the seeming distress, also brings bliss. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, as in the pastime of Krishna and gopis, so when Krishna played his flute, all the gopis just ran from their homes, whatever they were doing, they just left that aside and they came. And then Krishna, because he is supremely renounced, he said, oh, why have you come here? It is a very dangerous forest, you know, there are so many dangerous animals. You can please go back. Your husbands and fathers and children would be waiting. So then they were very distressed at that point, because they said, we have left everything and we have come because you called by this sound of the flute. So how can you send us? No. So they were very distressed. And then of course they started walking and Krishna started playing flute, and then he detected little bit pride in them and he disappeared. So then they became really mad, because they were the highest devotees are gopis in the whole creation. So they exhibit the highest emotion of devotional service. So that is the goal. Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamlyor Das Das and Das. So our goal is to become the servant of the servants of the servant of Krishna and these gopis who are the pure devotees, like that. So so when Krishna returned, they actually asked Krishna these questions, that we have left everything for you, so why did you do this? So there are three types of people. Basically, you explain us. Philosophically, they were asking. So there are three types of people. One type of a person, you try to exchange love with him or some affection, and he or she will reciprocate. It's very easy. So you go forward and the other person comes forward. Very simple to understand. Other category is, even if you don't approach, the other person will show affection, like that. And the third type, and Krishna then explained this first type, very common, if you exchange, then other person will reciprocate, like that. And second type, example is of parents. Parents, even, you know, parents will always love you. Even you are a bad boy or something, they will always love you. Like that. So they say, even if you don't show affection, they will show affection, like that. And third type, then gopis were asking, such type of people, who, even though you show affection, they don't reciprocate with affection. So they were actually kind of blaming Krishna, that we have left everything and now you are not showing affection and you left us, like that. So then actually Krishna, this is the whole actually the substance of Krishna consciousness. He said that how he acts, how he reciprocates with the devotees. So he said, there's a nice verse, I'll just read the translation. the 32nd chapter of 10th canto, says, but the reason I do not, Krishna is saying to gopis, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. So this thing, this actually every one of us, we have experienced this, that what happens, this is Krishna's policy, that he comes forward and then he disappears. So like initially I saw for myself that when I started, when I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, that period, that first few months is like, oh, it's like you'll do anything, any service, hours, it doesn't matter, you know, and so much ecstatic chanting, dancing. Then after some time, Krishna withdraws himself a little bit. So this is, then for the same ecstasy, same bliss, you have to work little harder. Like, and this is the whole process. This is happening with the gopis as well. So it's not that this will end. It's like we have to surrender more and more and more like that. So this is a dynamic process. It's not a like a machine, you know. So this is a dynamic process. You surrender, and then Krishna actually gives himself. He became a charioteer driver of Arjuna, became the servant of Krishna. He wants to serve the devotee. He glorifies the devotee. He gives the credit to devotee like that. And then devotee becomes, has so much gratitude, he wants to serve more. Then Krishna comes forward more like that. So this is the exchange on the spiritual platform. So seemingly it looks that on the spiritual platform as well there is distress, but it's not that. It's the separation on the spiritual platform is also blissful, because like Narad Muni, when Narad Muni got darshan of Supreme Lord while he was the son of the maid servant in his previous life, he started meditating and he got darshan of Lord. But then Lord disappeared, you know, and then, so same thing, he became like mad person, like this poor man who is poor person who just got wealth and then lost it. And then he becomes like madman. He cannot think of anything else than that wealth. The same way with Krishna, it's like that. You get little bit of Krishna and then he withdraws temporarily, and then you have to work harder. You can't think of anything else. You become like a mad person. So this is the goal here, to become a mad man in Krishna consciousness. But this is blissful, and we have to spread this knowledge of how to become mad for Krishna and addicted to Krishna. So what we discussed was about this happiness and distress. And here Avanti Brahmana is discussing what are the causes. So that to get real spiritual bliss, we have to serve Krishna without personal motive. Just surrender to the authorities and spiritual master and Krishna's instructions. So I would like to end there and ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed. Hare Krishna.
One comment about reciprocation to Krishna. Krishna is so kind because he sold to the devotee. You were reading one story, Lord Jagannath. There was a devotee about 60 kilometers away from Jagannath Puri, you might have heard this. So he, one Brahman was going to Jagannath temple in Jagannath Puri. So he gave one coconut to him, that please give this coconut to Lord Jagannath when you see the deities in Jagannath Temple, inside him. And if Lord Jagannath doesn't accept this, please bring it back. So the Brahman just laughed. What is this? How can I know that Lord has accepted and not accepted? And he. So, but anyway, he laughed and he went into the temple. And he offered the same devotee came to Lord Yamuna temple. But he belonged to a very poor, caste, very low family. So he could not go into the temple. Although he was Indian, but he was not allowed to go into the temple. So he brought a bag of mangoes, nice ripe mango, from his garden. And he wanted to give Lord Yamuna. So some Brahmanas were standing outside, the priests, those who were serving Lord Yamuna. So they were just fighting with each other, who will take the mango inside because of their pride. So that devotee did not give by he didn't give those mangoes. He just saw the chakra, Sadash chakra, over the temple. So he just gave a mango towards that because he said, the Parabrahmanian same as Lord Yamuna. So he gave one mango and the mango just disappeared. And so many people were around, they were seeing where the mango going. So the whole basket was completely emptied, one by one. And everybody was just surprised, what is happening? So the Brahmanas were fighting. They went inside the temple. And they saw the piece of mango, the seed of mango, the mango juice, everything. And Lord Yamuna was just eating. So Lord Yamuna was restored so nicely. Everybody was surprised. So this is the way Lord. So we must always think that eating are actually Krishna. There is no difference between eating and Krishna. So these are the two examples we want to tell you.
Thank
what
you.
What is the education Krishna has given? When he does the devotee, he does everything for Krishna. As you said, when he loved Arjuna, he became a sarathi, a driver for Arjuna. So this education is very, very important. So we cannot miss out anything. If we love Krishna, we get everything. Because he sold all. He sold the devotee. That's what Prabhupada was teaching. That Newton is not very good. So Prabhupada said the same thing. You have a very good education.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
A person would say, like, for example, if he's smoking, going and getting intoxicated, and he says, I'm very happy with how can we help him to come towards Krishna? Saying he's happy.
Yeah, so initially, so generally, this is a tendency. If you say, no, this, don't do this, don't do that. So there's a tendency, people won't like it, even we won't like it. So initially we don't say don't do this, don't do that. Whatever they are doing, let them do. You just say, take prasadam, take up chanting, see the deities, associate with devotees. Then slowly when he comes within the association, then we introduce the rules and regulations later on. So initially you just give the prasadam, because after having association with devotees, eating prasadam and chanting Hare Krishna or dancing in the kirtan, they become little purified, then you can give some further knowledge and they will understand. And they will lose taste for that. Basically our whole philosophy is of developing higher taste, param drishtva nivartate. So we give a higher taste, so you become saturated with higher taste, the lower taste automatically goes. It doesn't have to artificially say no to something. You give higher, lower. Hare Krishna.
So,
so
you mentioned you just described the about the three types of the feelings. First is the materialistic feelings. Second is the one first.
So you're saying that that Brahmananda is inferior, but still it's so hard to get, and this bhakti is bhakti is superior bliss, but it's easy to get.
Yes.
easy to mean so
easier. No, actually, then same in Nectar of Devotion, then it says where it describes the six main characteristics of bhakti. One characteristic is sudurla, that it's very, very rare. It's not easy to get. Krishna doesn't give bhakti easily. Krishna doesn't give bhakti easily. Why? Because you can control Krishna with bhakti. So, he doesn't give actually bhakti very easily. This is even more rare than getting Brahmanand. See, it's like very, very rare. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, one who captivates even the Cupid. But Radharani, or personification of devotional service, she is called Madan Mohan Mohini, that one who even captivates Madan Mohan or Krishna. So this bhakti is so powerful, Krishna becomes your servant like that. Like in Vrindavan, he is just acting as a small boy, and Mother Yashoda chases him with the stick, and he is very, very afraid. So Kunti Maharani says, oh, how is this, you know? Fear personified is afraid of Krishna, and now he is afraid of the devotee. And other elder gopis, they say, oh, we will clap, you dance. And they clap and he dances on their clapping. So this is, he becomes totally controlled by the love. So actually he gives, this is very, very rare, this devotion. That's why we were saying that we should be very grateful that, oh, how is that, that we have got this. It's very rare. But you are right that, as in Bhagavad Gita it says, klesho dikaraste sham avyakta asakta chetsam, that to get this Brahman realization, it's like klesha, it's very hard, very painful process to merge for those who are embodied. Because you are embodied and now you are trying to become formless, eternally formless. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. So that's why we just reject it, and we appreciate our great fortune that we have come in contact with Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Last
in comment in the first week,
yes. Yes.
About very bhakti.
Yeah.
Shruti Kirti, you know from Sarvan Prabhupada?
Yes.
So Shruti Kirti asked Prabhupada one day that Prabhupada, I don't want to pay obeisances to you all the time, going, coming, this and that, from inside the heart. So what should I do? Obeisances or not? Prabhupada said, no, you should keep on paying. Ultimately, you will realize one day that
okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.